We believe eternity is closer than we can imagine, and we'll tell you why.
Yes, we will have one day physical bodies fit for heaven that will allow us to enjoy and take part in everything that God has planned for us in an eternity that we can't even grasp right now.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. During this hour, we talk to Todd Hampson about our glorious future and to Billy Crone about the mystery in our skies, the invasion of the drones. We hope you will stick around for the hour. Here is today's programming.
If you're in Israel right now, let's think through the lens of our Bible prophecy understanding. If you're Israel right now, how does this work out? We know that 61% of the Israelis were for Trump. How does that shake out?
For sure, they know they're going to have a friend again, somebody who's going to stand with them. Right now, we talked about this earlier today, Israel is the flashing neon sign that we're in the end times. Not just that Israel's a nation again, which is a fulfillment of prophecy, but also the fact that all eyes are on Israel, that almost every news story you talk about in the world is somehow, some way connected to this tiny little nation in the middle of the Mideast that's so small it could fit into Lake Michigan with room to spare.
Yeah.
But the whole world's eyes are on it. Right. The UN is condemning it. Everything is literally lining up with what Bible prophecy has to say about Israel in the end times.
Yeah. It's really convergence, Jack. It's really, you're seeing all these little tributaries of prophecies that are emerging together. You look at Matthew 24, Jesus talked about wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes. He talked about deception in the last days, lawlessness, hatred, all these things that we've been experiencing. But these are just the things that are ramping up to it. But Israel becomes the focal point. Why? Because the prophecies that we read about in Daniel and in Revelation, they can't happen unless Israel's there, unless the world is focused on Israel again. And so all these things, and we talked about this earlier too, the fact that prophecy seems to be accelerating at a rapid pace. I mean, you talked about people celebrating across the world. How does that happen so fast? Well, because our world is shrunken and we've been able to communicate more clearly and more rapidly. And so with Israel at the center of things, guess what? Israel's not going away. Not going away. And she's going to be the center of the attention of the world until the end times.
Amen.
And Zechariah talks about Israel becoming a heavy stone that's hard to lift. She's the cup that causes the nations to reel. And these nations are converging around her exactly as the Bible predicts.
Welcome to the first program of the new year. And you just heard a clip of the prophecy pros, Jeff Kinley, along with Todd Hampson, dialoguing with Pastor Jack Hibbs. And I want to open the hour with Todd Hampson, whom I've worked with primarily on air here for several years. And my ministry has carried many of his books, the now famous Nonprofit series, PROPHET. And his latest book is The Nonprofit's Guide to Heaven, Discover What the Bible Says About the Wonders of Eternity, published by Harvest House. I'm just quoting Todd here, and he says this, "Perhaps you are reading this book at a season of life or at a time of great loss, pain, or disappointment, or perhaps the slow and steady grind of life in a fallen world has you discouraged as you look around and see what is taking place in our generation. These are yet additional reasons to learn more about our true home as believers. Studying the topic of heaven steeds our nerves, recalibrates our mindset, encourages our spirit, and reminds us of why we are here. Our goal is to finish our race strong and take as many people as possible with us to heaven." Well, I want to echo that wish, and I don't know how many times a day I encourage people to finish strong, whether we have days, months, or years left, or in some cases, maybe just minutes left. Todd Hampson, welcome back to the program.
Hello, Jan. It's always a pleasure to join you.
So you've written a lot of books, probably 20 if you throw in the study guides that often accompany a book. But you told me that you've written the one on heaven that we're talking about today is the most controversial. That kind of blows me away. Why is heaven controversial? And then you clarified it's because it argues for a pre-trib rapture. It discusses the bema seat, rewards. It puts forth a biblical argument for a literal future kingdom age. So the topic that assures us of eternity with God who created us, because the discussion includes pre-trib rapture and a literal thousand-year millennium, garners controversy. Am I right?
You are. It's wild. When you peel back the layers, I really do think it's spiritual warfare. Anytime we're talking about our promised future and trying to point the church and wake them up to help them to see the beauty of what lies ahead. And also anytime you point to a literal six-day creation and the foundation for male and female, for marriage, for how sin came into the world, how death came into the world, I tend to get more pushback when I focus on either of those two books, Genesis or Revelation. And also, even from within the church, for years, I've heard people say you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. So they're kind of discouraging people from thinking about what's in our promised future. But what I argue for in the book is that I think the opposite is true. The more heavenly minded we are, the more earthly good we're going to be, for all those reasons that you just mentioned. We want to bring people with us. We want to finish strong. We realize, yes, life is hard here on this fallen world, but we have a promised future that we can anchor to and look forward to that will help us to push through those tough times.
You've observed, as I have, I am sure, that there is a decline in the emphasis on dispensational theology. Now, some folks are asking, well, what's that? It's a long term. That would be a literal antichrist, a literal tribulation, literal role for Israel's key role in all of this, a literal 1,000 years. There's a decline in this in the church. I mean, are you hearing this? I'm hearing this on a daily basis.
I really am. Even in evangelical circles that previously had been at least friendly, yeah, if not bought into dispensationalism, and that God has distinct programs for Israel and for the church. Everyone has to accept Christ to be saved. That's not what it's about. But the unconditional promises given to Israel for the future are yet to be fulfilled. And if that is a new term that people are just hearing, dispensationalism, Paul uses the term. Paul talks about he's in the dispensation of grace. He's been given a responsibility over that. Dispensation really means just economy, or a time like when a new president comes in. It's the same history, it's the same backstory, but there's a new way of doing things. And if you read carefully through scripture, you see that very clearly. Before the fall, it was different than before the flood. After the flood, it was different than the time of the law. Paul specifically mentions the dispensation of grace and a future kingdom age and the past age of the law. So all that to say, it's not like we're trying to force a system of theology on the text. We're allowing the text to tell us that there are these different time periods that God clearly worked progressively through scripture.
So then what we're saying, sadly, is that perhaps the rapture deniers have had some success. Those who are teaching that we're in the millennium right now, amillennialism teaches that. By the way, you could have fooled me. What a disappointment if this is the millennium. But we're saying then that some of these people are having a little more success than we thought.
They really are, and there's various reasons for that. With the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther and Calvin and all them, they did a fantastic job of returning the church at large to a literal interpretation of salvation or soteriology, but they were so busy focusing on that that they didn't extend that literal hermeneutic or that literal interpretation method into eschatology. Unfortunately, that set the stage for some things that are very confusing when it comes to eschatology. But we believe scripture clearly says, if you take it at face value and just use the regular rules of language as we understand them and the authorial intent, what did the author mean when they said it? And it's crystal clear that there's a pre-trib rapture. There's a literal future 7-year period of God's wrath on earth where his focus shifts from the church back to Israel to win them. And there's verses in the Old Testament and New Testament that fully back that up. And that there's this amazing literal future kingdom age that has to occur. And it's all about returning to God's glory and God's rule, the original mandate that we find in Genesis. The Bible is one grand narrative that tells one story, and it's all about God's rule and God's glory.
If you just joined me, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from the East Coast Todd Hampson. And we carry his newest book, The Nonprofit's Guide to Heaven, Discover What the Bible Says About the Wonders of Eternity. Todd, I'm jumping back to your conversation here. Well, along with Jack Hibbs and Jeff Kinley, you were out there at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, where I've been privileged to minister on 3 occasions, and I love doing it. And you have a great conversation here. I want to pick up on it again, because here you're talking about the 2-minute warning, and I feel we've had that. You couldn't be more accurate here.
1 John 2:18 says, little children, it is the last hour.
So if it's the last hour in the first century, we're in the 2-minute warning.
Yeah.
We're in the last second.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I love what you just said, Jack, because in Scripture, with Christians, most Christians will ignore Revelation. They won't go there. It's like a keep off the grass sign or something, keeping them out. It's that room in your grandmother's house you're not allowed to go into, right? And so people just stay away. But when you consider that, as Todd said, up to the third of the Bible is prophetic when it was written. Mm-hmm. Over 8,000 Bible verses that are prophetic in your Bible. There are 737 different prophetic topics in the Bible. If you're looking for devotional topics, okay, 737. And every time the first coming of Jesus was mentioned, Christmas, the second coming is mentioned 8 more times. So we spend a whole month of the year celebrating in the incarnation, which we should. That's great. But God says, that's good. Look back, enjoy, learn from it. I'm coming back again. 8 more times he says that. And then what blows me away, Jack, is that with the revelation of God, the last book of the Bible is a book that is 95% prophecy. So God could have ended his books any way he wanted to. And book 66, Jack, could have said, love one another. And we'd have gone, wow, what a great way to end the book. He could have said, remember all the other 65 books. And we'd have gone, okay, let's get on it. He didn't. He said, this is who I am. Chapter 1, church, chapters 2 and 3, this is what you need to get right now. Chapter 4, John, come up to heaven for a while, let's see the throne. Chapter 5, I'm taking that scroll, I'm about to take charge of this planet. Yep. Chapter 6 through 18, I'm about to wreak judgment on this planet. Chapter 19, I'm coming back again to claim what is mine and destroy my enemies. Chapter 20 is going to be my millennial kingdom. Chapters 21 and 22, a new heavens and a new earth. And you talk about a bright future. That's what we have in store.
Come on.
Amen.
That's awesome.
That's the last book of the Bible.
Todd, nobody says it better than Jeff Kinley as he summarized things there. But as you say, Todd Hampson, eternity is in the heart of man. That's Ecclesiastes 3:11. Everyone has some concept of eternity. Talk to me about that, because some people have such an aberrant concept of eternity.
Even naturalists and atheists can pretend to stuff that down, but they really can't. Jan, I think I've shared with you before, I didn't grow up in a Christian environment. And even as a teenager, I would say that I was an atheist, that I didn't believe in God. But even back then, I remember now looking back with a different lens. On one hand, I would say I don't believe in him, but if something bad happened, I would blame him for it. We often talk about how the fact that if you read carefully in Revelation, atheism is going to die a cruel death by the sixth seal judgment. The whole world will know this is God's active judgment and that God is real. And in the trajectory of Revelation, you see people choosing sides, but they know that the supernatural is real. We can't get away from it. We can pretend, we can cover it up, we can stuff it down, but eternity is in the heart of man. We have 3 pets. They don't ever wonder what's going to happen tomorrow or what eternity is about. But these are the things that those who are created in the image of God often think about. And I love, like you said, Jeff's great at summarizing things. And the fact he talked about that 2-minute warning. If you watch a football game in the last 2 minutes of the game, it's a whole different set of plays. It's a whole different type of intensity. And it's a whole different type of intentionality. And I think that's the hopeful thing we can take during these crazy times as believers, knowing that we're deep in the fourth quarter of the church age, that the Lord's return is on the near horizon. Everything is lining up, and that should make us live life with purposeful intensity for the things of God.
I asked you, I said, what are some common questions that you get from folks? You've been writing books for some time now, and I think my ministry's carried more than half of them over the years. And folks, they are all outstanding. You can find, Todd, give me the best website for you. Is that toddhampson.com?
Yeah, that would be the best one, toddhampson.com.
And there you can see the full lineup of everything that he's written, and I encourage you to do that. So I asked you, in the process of all of this that you've been writing, and then you communicate with a lot of people at the same time, what are you hearing from these people? I mean, we're in one of the most exciting times in history, potentially one of the darkest times in history. We don't know what's going to break here in 2025, but you told me that one of the prominent items of feedback you hear is, why have I never heard this, what we're talking about, in my church before, ever? How do you answer those people?
That is the most common question that I hear in terms of feedback I get by email, and also as I speak around the country. people will travel far and wide to go hear Bible prophecy. And you've had several shows about the reasons behind that. Yeah. But the positive side is there is a remnant of believers who are waking up to this. I think in the 70s, we had this great pop culture awareness of the rapture and eschatology, and it became mainstream with the Jesus movement and Hal Lindsey, our dear friend who just went to be with the Lord, major impact. And then I think for various reasons, one of them is after that, the topic maybe was sensationalized a bit by some people. So that turned some people off. But the biggest thing, and again, I think this is a spiritual component, is that many church leaders and many church organizations, including Bible colleges and seminaries, started trying to amalgamate all the ideas and all the views of eschatology into the most common denominator and pushing forward panmillennialism, that it's all going to pan out in the end, and it's not really an important topic. Even the seeker-sensitive church movement, obviously there's a few things that were good about that, the intentions maybe, but they dropped the ball in terms of our mandate as the church, as church leaders, is to equip the body to go out and do ministry and teach clear biblical theology. But what's happened is because of that movement, we've dumbed things down in many churches, sadly, to where we make it so watered down that we want to make it so attractive to the outside to get them to come in to hear the gospel. But because of that, we failed to equip the body, and the body is anemic and starving right now for deep biblical truth. So I think we have an opportunity to share that. Your program does it. These events we do.
Yes.
Any means necessary, we need to get the message out that we need to teach biblical theology from Genesis to Revelation, and especially unpack prophecy and eschatology, because people are starving to learn it. And prophecy and eschatology are automatic discipleship makers. You can't teach prophecy and eschatology without touching on other areas of theology. And it's a felt need. People want to know what is going on in the world right now. So those, even in the church, who have never studied prophecy before are now waking up to the need to understand it, and they're starving to learn it.
Find Todd's book in my online store, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Just go to my online store, The Nonprofit's Guide to Heaven. Todd, I want to play one more clip here. It's Dr. Mark Hitchcock. He's kind of speculating, what might we be facing here in 2025?
This game of drones is going to increase dramatically, along with technology in every area in the coming year. We know that. We know that Israel is going to advance and exert its power against its near enemies, against Gaza and Syria and Lebanon, and probably even in a greater way against Iran. We know that Iran is going to escalate its pursuit of nuclear weapons. That's the only deterrent they really have left. And that will open them up to a major assault by Israel, possibly aided by the U.S. And we know that Russia has been humiliated and will increase its offensives against Ukraine to gain all the leverage it can in view of a future peace agreement. And all of these forecasts point dramatically to the end time scenario predicted in the Bible. They're all related to Israel, to the Antichrist, to Russia, to the Gog-Magog war. And as we think about these forecasts, though, I want to remind you and myself that God's not given us a spirit of fear. So I'm not saying all these things as we go into the new year to create a spirit of fear, anxiety. We have to live, and we have to go into 2025 in faith, not in fear, in hope, not in hopelessness, in anticipation, not in anxiety. God is moving in our world to accomplish his purposes and his plans. So we want to make sure that we allow him, as he's moving in this world, to also move in our lives, to accomplish what he wants us to do so that he can continue to work through us. So my prayer for myself and for all of you is that we'll enter 2025 with confidence in the sovereignty and the goodness of our great God, and that 2025 may be the year of his coming. And even so, come Lord Jesus.
Todd, in part two of my programming, we're going to hear from Pastor Billy Crone extensively about this drone phenomenon. If you'd like to comment, please feel free to. But the balance of what Mark Hitchcock just said, I'd like your feedback.
I agree with him so much. I love that video he put together recapping 2024 and looking ahead. I think those are all valid things. The technology is going to ramp up. This drone thing, it'll be very interesting to see where that goes. Technology in general is exploding. Everything related to Israel continues to ramp up. It literally every news story just about somehow ties back to Israel. But I love that he pointed out the fact that even though there's these heavy things going on, that we should be excited as believers, because we know that just means the Lord's return is that much nearer. When I speak around the country, I like to use the term, we need to live with purposeful urgency, not panic, not fear, but purposeful urgency. We need to leverage this moment, seize the moment for the sake of the gospel. Jeff and I spoke at a youth conference out on the West Coast, actually at Jack Kids Church. We had 1,000 students show up on site and another 1,000 online. They were riveted the entire time. Most of them had never really studied Bible prophecy before. And we did Q&As after each session, and there were two lines of 50 students deep all the way to the very last session, wanting to understand this. There's hope for us to pass the baton to the next generation and equip them, because it's kind of skipped a generation. We need to look forward to the Lord's return and at the same time work hard to pass the baton to the next generation should the Lord tarry. And just to encourage them and help this next generation rise up as rock solid believers who have a real grip on the Bible.
Give me a summary of what they were asking.
They were asking some really raw, deep spiritual questions, like if the rapture occurs in our lifetime, will unborn babies go? And if we share different perspectives, and that our perspective is that yes, unborn babies, Jesus said, for such is the kingdom of them, talking about children. And of course, the verse about David saying his child could not come back to him, but he could go to his child. Other questions about the nature of the millennial kingdom, what our bodies are going to be like, what is life going to be like, what are we going to be doing? Asking questions about heaven, is heaven going to be boring or is it going to be an absolute exciting adventure? Amazing things that I've not heard a lot of adults ask, these students were asking. And the beauty was they had no external baggage or nothing bad that they had learned to keep them from naturally asking these questions that pop up when you teach Bible prophecy. And we saw scores of them come to the Lord. Jack Hibbs gave an altar call and presented the gospel very clearly at an opportune moment. And so many students came forward to give their life to Christ.
So some of these young people are looking forward to an eternal future. In other words, so many who are, let's just say, younger in life, want to live their full life. They don't want to be interrupted by eternity.
Exactly. But I think we're at a moment where they see the instability of the world going on, and they're wanting answers as well. And it was middle school and high schoolers. Even the middle schoolers had deep, real questions that all people have, but maybe have never had as a teenager an opportunity to put those questions into words to someone that they trust that's going to give them an honest answer. It was really refreshing and exciting to see, and really gave us the sense that God may be up to something with that generation in the short time that we have left before the Lord returns.
How encouraging. I'm so glad you shared that perception and that experience with us, Todd. I've got a couple of minutes left. You want to sum up anything? Again, folks, the book is The Nonprofit's Guide to Heaven. Find it in my online store, subtitle, Discover What the Bible Says About the Wonders of Eternity. And folks, we're looking at eternity one way or another. Some of us are looking at eternity, and I really do want to understand better what my future heavenly home is all about. Go ahead, Todd. Why don't you wrap things up? You got about a minute.
Those of us who have been watching and waiting for the Lord's return, of course, we pray that the rapture happens in our lifetime. But the more time ticks on, the more we realize, hey, within a few short decades, we may be there with him anyway, apart from his return. So either way, we need to be ready for eternity. What I tried to do with this book was set it up as a multi-audience book. It presents the gospel. If an unbeliever were to receive it, a lot of people give these books as gifts to unbelievers because the artwork in it makes it more accessible and not as intimidating as some typical theology books. Also, it unpacks in the front end of the book, I talk about other worldviews and what they believe about heaven. So it paints a clear picture that biblical Christianity is the only worldview in history in the world that gives us a hope for eternity. All the other ones, Eastern religions, you merge into the universe and lose your consciousness. That doesn't sound very appealing to me. Mm. For atheists and naturalists, you go into nothing. You die and that's it. There's no reason for living, no reason for morality, no reason to really enjoy anything because that's all going to burn up at the end and it's not going anywhere. So I unpack that as well. And also throughout the book, it's a systematic overview of what the Bible itself teaches about heaven in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then lastly, all of the amazing things we have to look forward to us to get to heaven, including the rapture, the bema seat, the return, the wedding feast, the millennial kingdom. It literally just gets better and better all the way up to the eternal state, which, by the way, is not going to be us as fat babies sitting on clouds playing harps. It's going to be full of adventure. people tend to think for some reason, even though God created things like pleasure and adventure and beauty and variety, somehow people have this notion that when we get to heaven, it's going to be less impressive than anything we've seen on earth. It's the exact opposite. Our best day, our best experience on earth is not going to hold a candle to 1 second in heaven.
Todd Hampson, thank you for the outstanding summary, and thank you for all you do. We'll talk again, my friend.
Sounds great. Thank you, Jan.
Folks, just a couple of quick updates here. I've got a new book coming out in a month, Understanding the Times, Making Sense of the Chaos Leading to Earth's Final Days, published by Harvest House. It is under $9, so it can be read in a few hours. It's a short commentary on our times, and if you'll pre-order it, and the industry likes to have you do that on Amazon.com, because then the secular retailers see this and order the book. We get it in Target, Walmart, get the gospel message. So would you pre-order on Amazon.com, Understanding the Times, Making Sense of the Chaos Leading to Earth's Final Days, a book with a gospel message. Again, after February 4th, you can order through Olive Tree. It will retail for less than $9. Again, pre-order. It's a book published by Harvest House, Amazon.com. Let me just quickly say, we have an Understanding the Times one-night event coming up Thursday, January 16th, here in the Twin Cities, and available by live stream. This is our bi-monthly meeting, co-sponsored by Olive Tree Ministries and Mark Henry Ministries, here in suburban Minneapolis at Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Our guest, Pastor Brandon Holthouse, Pastor Rock Harbor Church, and we're going to consider the top issues of the new year. Where's America and the world headed in 2025? No cost. You can live stream this event anywhere in the world. MarkHenryMinistries.com, MarkHenryMinistries.com, 7 p.m. Thursday, January the 16th. Hope you will look into it and join us in Minneapolis. In part two of my programming, Ken Michael and Josh Schwartz talk to Billy Crone. What on earth is going on in our skies? There are drone sightings across America. Is there an agenda behind them? I think so. Stay tuned.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. There are so many questions about the eternity God has prepared for the believer. Will we have bodies in heaven? Will we recognize other people, such as our friends and family? What does having a future in heaven mean for us while still here on earth? Author and illustrator Todd Hampson answers dozens of questions about our future in his newest book, The Nonprofit's Guide to Heaven. Discover what the Bible says about the wonders of eternity. He outlines an informative overview of what happens between now and eternity. The book is packed with engaging infographics and insight, and will transform your understanding of heaven and the afterlife while energizing you to live more boldly in the present. Find The Nonprofit's Guide to Heaven in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call our office at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444.
And this is all part of the Great Reset agenda. It isn't just shoving everybody in a 15-minute city and controlling what food you eat and where you get to go.
Exactly.
It's creating this type of drone, AI-controlled global basis, monitoring Big Brother nightmare society.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, and then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. In part two of our programming, Ken Michael and Pastor Josh Schwartz talk to Pastor Billy Crone about the ominous signs in the skies, the mysterious drone invasion. Is there more to this than meets the eye? Here is the balance of today's programming.
We want to continue to talk about the mysteries in the sky. We're talking about the drone mysteries that are really prevalent across the Northeast.
Can you comment on the drones that are flying around New Jersey ports? It seems like the American people have a big disconnect.
The government knows what is happening. Look, our military knows where they took off from. If it's a garage, they can go right into that garage. They know where it came from and where it went. And for some reason, they don't want to comment. And I think they'd be better off saying what it is. Our military knows and our president knows. And for some reason, they want to keep people in suspense.
Now we have them all over New Jersey, all the way up to Massachusetts. And it's hard to tell exactly with the quality of the reporting right now, because it seems to be the bigger this story gets, the more people are just looking up and seeing anything and pointing it out. But there are reports from Texas to Florida to California, Ohio, Minnesota, Pennsylvania. I mean, it's not just New Jersey itself, it seems. And even the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base was shut down for a drone incursion just this last Friday. But right now, kind of the word on the street is that these objects appear to be coming from over the ocean. There's senior congressmen, there's Coast Guard personnel, there's law enforcement that are seeing a large number of these come from somewhere over the ocean. I don't know if that means necessarily they're popping out of the water physically or if they're coming from some unknown location in the water and then proceeding over the coast.
Mysteries in the sky. There have been multiple drone sightings everywhere across the country, and there are no concrete answers given by our government. What in the world is going on? We'll try and answer this and other questions with our guest. He's been on Jan Markell's radio program numerous times, a guest speaker at her Understanding the Times conference. He's an author and producer of multiple video series, one of which we're going to focus on today. I would like to welcome the senior pastor of Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas, Pastor Billy Crone. Billy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, guys. It's always a pleasure.
So, Billy, we've got numerous witnesses that have seen and recorded these drone sightings all over the country. Our government is basically silent on it. They obviously know where these are coming from. You have an interesting take on the purpose of flying these drones all over the country in plain sight for everyone to see and record. Tell the audience what your theory is on this.
Again, if you go out there on the internet, there's multiple theories. People say it's aliens and UFOs. Some people say that it's Iran and some foreign enemy. And some people say, on the one hand, I agree with Trump, that don't think for a second that the government doesn't know what's going on, especially in the area where large sightings are. They're on the East Coast. You got Air Force bases, you got Navy. It's around DC. You got some of the busiest airports in the world. Knowing the technology, they know exactly what this is. Other people say, well, maybe they're sniffing for nuclear material or a soft nuke. But one thing that you might want to consider this one as well, and that is that this is going to become an excuse to pass more draconian laws to control the airspace and to utilize drone technology like never before, basically create a crisis, you manage the outcome. Then what people don't realize is that's part of Klaus Schwab's Great Reset plan. And if you do the research, and we've done a deep dive on them, it isn't just that they want to corral people into what's called these 15-minute cities, and you will own nothing to be happy. But it's a Big Brother paradise, and you will be monitored like a rat in the cage. And believe it or not, even in their own writings, they're admitting that drone technology is a part of that. And so we have a resource that we took a deep dive on that, and it's just simply called Drones, Artificial Intelligence, and the Coming Human Annihilation. And we expose the step-by-step plan that they have to bring this into reality. Yes, folks, even in the United States of America. And just real quick as a synopsis of what we cover in there, let me just read to you the back description of part of it. It says this. Now, imagine a world full of drones of all shapes and sizes that are everywhere in the air, on the land, the sea, even under the sea. Now, ponder an existence where those same drones monitor and control everything, spying on your every move. Now, combine that reality with drones mimicking nature, including sharks, cheetahs, snakes, birds, just to name a few, as well as drones that are miniaturized to mirror every imaginable insect, such as flies, beetles, cockroaches, even a moth. Where would you hide? How would you even know the difference between real life versus a manufactured drone? Now, add to this nightmarish mix an army of man-made Terminator-like robots roaming the earth, armed to the teeth, ready to take any resistor out. And imagine if AI was controlling it all on a global basis.
Wow.
That's the study in a nutshell. And that is what is being launched with the Great Reset.
Absolutely. So, Billy, with these drone sightings that we're seeing even right now, do you think that this is some sort of conditioning us towards being used to or accepting the use of drones that are happening all around and will be happening?
Yes. And because I think that these guys are masters of deceit. First of all, they're creating a news cycle to get us to cry out for what they want us to cry out for. Government, fix this, right? It's the same old program they always use to pass things. Go back to 9/11. What did they do after 9/11? They used 9/11 to pass the Patriot Act, which gave the government the ability to do something unconstitutional and then to spy on the American people. But we fell for that because everybody was in the shock and awe, 9/11, and we can't let this happen again. So here we have a news cycle with the drones, and the government is playing stupid. They know exactly, like Trump said, what's going on, but they keep letting it go on and on. So people say, well, we got to do something about this. We can't let this go on. This is crazy. And so once again, they rise to the occasion and they pass, and this is what they're doing. They're passing new draconian laws that will take this to an even deeper level. Will they be able to control the skies, take out anything in the skies they don't want, also give them new surveillance powers at utilizing drones on the American people, folks? In fact, if you look at the laws, some of them, they use the excuse of the border. And now we need to have drones monitoring the border. What if that wall doesn't work out? And the problem with that is, folks, and this actually, believe it or not, started back in the Obama years. They were talking about not just using drones, but armed drones, predator drones, to take anybody out on the border. And you're like, well, hey, we do have a border crisis. Well, yeah, we do. And that was also manufactured on purpose. But here's my point. I'm not saying Trump would do this necessarily. I hope he wouldn't. But what if you get these laws in place that allow them to literally now control the skies with drones, including armed drones in the United States of America? Let's say we got a different leader, or a leader just turned on us and they became draconian. Well, that's the point, right? So now they have in place laws that give them the ability to what? Shoot down Americans from the sky, maybe trying to flee America. Because the border works both ways. People don't realize this. It isn't just trying to secure people trying to come in illegally. And that's a legitimate issue, right? I'm not saying that we shouldn't do stuff about that. What if you're in a position where you become the enemy of the state and you're trying to get out of here? They'll take you out from the sky.
Yeah.
So this is a psyop to keep this in the news, keep it going, get people worried about it so that they can implement the policy that you just, for those on YouTube saw it, but you held up a policy. Talk about that, because they tried to pass a policy here recently on the 20th of December. Tell us about that, what that entails.
It was called the FAA Reauthorization Act of 2018. And that gave them limited abilities to do a little bit with, you know, drones and monitoring things of that nature. It expired December 20th. So that's why they've been using this news cycle to push this drone thing, because they want to not just pass it again. They want to pass another one on steroids again. Now, they didn't make it, but, and I checked it out. Okay, what happened? Just a dead issue? No, they're still doing the drone thing in the news cycle. And so what they did is they took the new one. It's called the Counter UAS, basically Drone Authority, Security, Safety, and Reauthorization Act. And there's a couple other ones out there, but basically that one allows them to, listen, destroy, disable aircraft in flight, intercept signals and communications. This is in the United States of America, folks. But my point is, so now they've snuck it in to the spending bill to keep the government going. And so now we have to wait until the middle of March to find out whether or not they're going to be able to pass this new draconian one. And so they're being sneaky about it. It's not over. right? But again, the timing, guys, what was it? The current law that gave them limited ability on drones expired December 20th. And how long has this been in the news? All of a sudden out of the blue, this drone thing. It's to get us to cry out, government, you better really take control of the skies. It's all manufactured.
Well, and then also in this bill is the opportunity to put policies on cell phones and other communications, right?
Exactly. Again, and that's what it says. It says, end quote, intercept signals and communication. Well, I'm sure that's just going to be drones. Yeah, right. I mean, that's a blanket policy. What do you mean intercept communications? Did you say intercept only drone communications or you say intercept communications? I don't trust these guys with a 10-foot pole. It could be any communication, guys. And then again, if you understand the technology, this is nothing new. This will just give them the ability to do it on a mega scale in every state of the United States on American citizens under the guise of just like the Patriot Act. We're here to help you from potential terrorists, but we'll be surveilled like never before. And communication, folks, that could be your cell phone. That could be your computer at home, could be your laptop, could be your tablet. That's a communication device. And if you think that's foreign, they're already doing it. Most people don't realize this. And they currently have been using it for years with planes. And they say, oh, that's just a small three-seater, four-seater plane flying above. No, it's not. That's being used by the police to scan a whole area. And they're scanning. It's called a digital sweep. And they're sweeping whole cities or areas. And they're absorbing people's cell phone data under the guise of protecting us. That's unconstitutional. But that's been going on for years, folks.
Right. Yeah.
But now this is going to take it on a micromanaged level. And you could do anything you want from the skies with drones. You can think, well, I'm going to hide out. I can hear that plane coming. Have fun with drones.
And it's not only upload, but it's also download. They can do anything they want, take anything they want, and put anything they want really on any of our communication devices, whether that's iPads, iPhones, cell phones, computers, tablets, anything can be manipulated.
And I have no doubt that DARPA has such advanced technology right now, like you mentioned, with weaponry and so on. But what we're seeing or what people are witnessing overhead, these are large size of small cars flying around. So let's talk about the difference then between what people are witnessing and recording and those things that military pilots have seen in the past, because I think there's a distinct difference because people are combining these and thinking that it's another UFO sighting. Tell our audience about the difference between what people are seeing and recording and what military pilots have seen and recorded in the past, where these objects are going at hyperspeed, making turns and diving into water and coming out that no vehicle can obviously make.
Part of that is that shouldn't be too surprising if you do the research. And I get it. There's a certain element involved in the military where they're not going to divulge publicly all of our national secrets and all of our high-tech technology. You don't want your enemies to know that. I get that. But my general rule is this, based on talking with many, many military experts and many different documentaries that we've done. And this is just declassified information they shared with me. They actually look at me and with a half smile and say, well, I can't tell you about the still classified. But just the declassified information of what kind of technology we really have, guys. And it's not just America. It's every major developed country. And this is China, Russia, et cetera. But really what they allow you to see in public, you are anywhere from 20 to 30 to 40 years behind the actual technology. And it's that high tech. In fact, dare I say, if we were to see what the military and the government has access to, even our own country, the technology, the flying technology, the drone technology, we would freak out, number one, and we would think for sure that that has to be some sort of alien invasion. No, it's high-tech machinery, and people have no idea. In fact, part of this documentary, again, that we have, the drones, artificial intelligence, the coming human annihilation, we break down the different types of drone technology. Because when you talk about drones, people think, you know, it's just like those quadcopters that you buy from China and just doing your own video footage or filming a wedding or doing some commercial business. No, you're talking about major invasion. And we break down the category, not just the private drones. There's media drones. There's agricultural drones. There's commercial drones, because that's part of the Great Reset. And Amazon's a part of that. Medical drones, transportation drones, communication drones, and that's where they start scamming all your information. They're listening devices, drones being used by the police force, the military, and also they make drones that look like animals, but they're not animals. In fact, I'll just give you a little teaser on how far back this technology goes. I was being tortured one time about 10 years ago. I had to preach at a conference in Hawaii, Yeah, pause for dramatic effect. So I'm over there preaching, and of course, I'm talking about Big Brother. And I talk about these shark drones that the Navy been working on. And he comes up afterwards. He's a retired guy there in Hawaii in the Navy. And he says, Pastor Billy, we've had those for a long time. He says, it looks exactly like a shark, but you can't even tell the difference. But they make them look like animals or insects. Right now, just hang with me. It's going to sound crazy. You could have an insect flying around, guys, and you think it's an insect. It's that real, but it's not. It's a drone. And exactly. That drone is there monitoring you. It is watching you. It is listening to you. It could take your data. This is current technology that's being used in the military. And then the freaky one, if that wasn't bad enough, and we have a whole giant section on this, robot drones, military drones. This is from General William Cone, and this is the U.S. military. And they have a goal. They want to, believe it or not, replace 1/3 of the U.S. military combat soldiers with Terminator robots. They want to do it by 2030. Does that date sound familiar?
Exactly. Wow.
2030. And of course, we now know after the pandemic and all the other stuff going on with the military, we're in short supply of guys. So believe it or not, they want, again, drones in the sky, drones on the ground, drones that look like animals, but they're not, drones that look like flies, but they're not, and drones monitoring the streets. Now, I'll just throw this one out here too. Elon Musk is a part of this, because if you look at one of his many ventures, what's he getting ready to release? He wants in every home a what? An AI-controlled drone called a robot. So if you're freaking out over the military robots, don't worry. The ones in your house are going to be okay. They won't monitor you. They won't take you out if you do something wrong. They're there to serve you.
Right.
Right? And this is all part of the Great Reset agenda. Well, it isn't just shoving everybody in a 15-minute city and controlling what food you eat and where you get to go.
Exactly.
It's creating this type of drone AI-controlled global basis monitoring Big Brother nightmare society. And exactly. Believe it or not, in the United States of America, because we're the last vestige of hope for freedom, the Biden administration, before Trump gets in, man, they're doing their best to get these draconian laws on the books. Somebody goes south, he'll have it ready to go.
Well, you brought up the globalists and the World Economic Forum. Let's take a look at a video, and I want to have you comment on this, because their plan has not changed one bit, folks. Take a look at this.
Those who fail in the struggle against irrelevance would constitute a new useless class. People who are useless, not from the viewpoint of their friends and family, of course, but useless from the viewpoint of the economic and political system. And this useless class will be separated by an ever-growing gap from the ever more powerful elite. Alongside inequality, the other major danger we face is the rise of digital dictatorships that will monitor everyone all the time. A system that understands us better than we understand ourselves, can predict our feelings and decisions, can manipulate our feelings and decisions, and can ultimately make decisions for us. Now, in the past, many tyrants and governments wanted to do it, but nobody understood biology well enough, and nobody had enough computing power and data to hack millions of people. Neither the Gestapo nor the KGB could do it. But soon, at least some corporations and governments will be able to systematically hack all the people.
You're listening to Understanding Our Times. I'm Ken Michael, along with Pastor Josh Schwartz. And our special guest today is Pastor Billy Crone, Sunrise Bible Church, Las Vegas, Nevada. Billy, Yuval Harari spelled it out perfectly for us. They want to keep us confined, and they consider us absolutely useless people.
Right. And basically, that's what he was describing, what's called the Fourth Industrial Revolution and or the Great Reset. The terms are synonymous. And this is what they want to bring to the planet. What they're saying is by typically 2030, they would keep rounding around that date again. And what they're saying is with the emergence of AI and AI-controlled robotics and AI-controlled services, including drone technology, that what's going to happen is half of the jobs on the planet are going to be gone because AI and AI-controlled robotics are going to be able to do that. So therefore, that's what they call, what are we going to do with these useless people? They have no function. Because their job's been taken away, they don't know how to do anything else, and so they're useless. And that's why there's a culling going on, and that's why they want to get rid of them. And of course, he jokes on other videos, and when they're challenged, well, what are you going to do with all those people, right? Half the planet. And he smiles and he says, our best guess so far is we're going to give them drugs and let them play video games. And that's not what they're really going to do. They're going to get rid of those people. But here's my point. Then those other half that still are useful to them, you have the privilege of living in a 15-minute controlled city, and they will bring in two aspects of monitoring you like he was mentioning on that video. There's what's called the external monitoring, the IoT, Internet of Things. Mm-hmm. There's the internal monitoring with what's called the IOB, or the Internet of Bodies. And they will control you from the outside. They'll control you from the inside. He mentioned the microchip bracelet that right now could read your thoughts to see whether or not you really meant what you said, etc. They want to take it even further and go from the bracelet into your hand, or Klaus is big on the brain chips, your forehead. Oh, by the way, again, who's also got a brain chip company?
Elon Musk.
Oh, Elon Musk again. Yeah, exactly. But the other thing is, go back to the IoT. So 15-minute city, you'll own nothing, be happy. Only those that are useful. The other half, you're useless. We got to get rid of you, figure out something to do with you. And then you get to live in a 15-minute city. We're going to control you with IoT on the outside, IOB on the inside. But this is where we're talking about today. This is the IoT system, where you will be completely controlled and monitored like a rat in a cage, with AI-controlled technology in the sky, on the ground, in your home, everywhere you go. And by the way, once you take that bracelet, or once you get that chip, they will know your exact location, so that if you do something or you try to go beyond your 15-minute barrier, you're in big trouble. Yeah. That's the system they're putting in place.
So, Billy, this system that you're talking about is described in the Bible. Yeah. Many of us know it as the beast system, this fourth kingdom that's going to come upon the earth. Real quick, as we close out here, tell people about this system that we're witnessing being set up.
Yeah, it's basically Revelation 13, right? Revelation 13 says, working with the false prophet, the Antichrist, the false prophet, it says, he makes, he orders, he causes, and he forces the planet to do whatever they say they want to be done, including getting a mark, specifically a biometric mark in the right hand or the forehead, which is part of the plan from these guys on tape. But think about that. Make, order, force, cause. What's that? That's a Big Brother society. And it says there, if you don't do what they say, you will be killed. If you don't worship the Antichrist, you will be killed. Now think about that. You give out a global order. We have global technology. An order can be given out. But how are you going to know whether or not somebody really obeyed or not? And this is on a global basis. Well, the technology's here. Not only with you take a mark or wear a bracelet and they have access to your thoughts. That's crazy enough. But with being able to drone everything, the skies, the streets, the bugs, the Terminator robots, on the ground, in the sky, in the sea, under the sea, the military aspect, they will know everything about you, what you say, what you do, how you responded. And if you don't respond appropriately, here's the point, anywhere on the planet, they will know exactly where you are and they will take you out. And can I tell you something? This is going to be creepy. Back to they're called MAVs, micro aerial vehicles, the ones that look like flies, but they're not flies. These things don't just monitor you. They come with a payload. So what you think is a fly, it will go, and they show it an example, and it goes into the back of a person's head, shoots him in the head, knocks him out.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Well, and what's fascinating, so we see this in Bible prophecy. We see it all coming together. We are understanding that this is exactly what Revelation chapter 13 talks about, but it's going to be advertised as convenience. It's the Internet of Things to connect us so that everything knows what we need, when we need it, by the sound of our voice. We can turn on our lights and our TV, but it's all going to be promoted as convenience and utopia. But we know that the back end is all about control. And it is that beast system that Satan wants to set up so that he can be, for a time, we know, worshiped by the majority of those on the planet.
Convenience, yes. And that's how most people fall for this. But the other layer, and this is what we're seeing in the news right now, under the guise of, we're the good guys, we need to do this to protect you. Convenience, and we're going to protect you from the bad guys. The sad irony is, they're the bad guys.
Well, this has been an excellent conversation, Billy. I look forward to continuing it with you soon. There's so much happening, and we're the generation that gets to see this being implemented. Tell people how they can get in touch with you.
They can reach us at our teaching website, getalifemedia.com. getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. You could also download our app. Just search for my name, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N-E, and you could download that for free.
Well, thank you, Pastor Billy. It is always fascinating to talk to you, and I certainly look forward to talking more about this, because this isn't going to go away, folks. This is the New World Order, the World Economic Forum's plan. But as ominous as that is, we always have to remember who's in charge.
Yeah, the truth is this. When we try and put our hope in a state, we're going to be left out, hanging to dry, because it's not going to bring any hope. It's always going to be brokenness. Now, with all of this, we know that the Bible talks about a surveillance state in the book of Revelation, specifically Revelation chapter 13. But I want to point us to the invitation at the end of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, verses 16 and following say this: I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things. For the churches, I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to the water of life without price come. Friend, that's the invitation to you. You hear these things, they are dark and evil, but the message is this: come to Jesus. He is your hope. He is your light. He is your strength. And by faith in Christ alone, we can have eternal life.
Amen. That's it for this week, folks. Please join us again next week. We look forward to seeing you. And until then, keep looking up, for your redemption draws near.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We have a front row seat watching the final act of the church age. We are privileged, if we know the Bible, to see the orchestration by a loving God causing all things to fall into place.